How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Filthy Four Daily. It is November 16, 2015, figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. Filthy himself, Tom Lawler, Thomas Filthy Lawler IV, I believe is his full name. Got a lot of stuff to talk about here today, including more information on this upcoming tournament that we are doing here on this program, the WWE 2K16 Filthy Title Tournament. Tom, what's going on today?
Just looking over the brackets for the said title tournament and picking who I believe will be the winner in the future, so I can go place my bets here in Las Vegas. Maybe I'll make out as well as some people did this weekend betting on Holly Holm, but I doubt it.
A fine segue, Tom.
Thank you.
We are, in fact, going to talk about this Holly Holm fight, the victory over Ronda Rousey. Now, on the show Saturday, Dave was very, 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 very excited. And so you were unable to fully break down this Ronda Rousey-Holly Holm fight. But today, we have plenty of time. We have nothing but time, Tom. And so you are going to watch the fight in real time and break it down for all of us, the viewers. Is that correct?
I shall do that. Yes, I will. There were a few people on the board who expressed great gratitude towards me and my analysis of the fight, what little analysis I did provide, after the fight was over. So I decided I'll watch the fight here in real time, and I'll provide you with, basically what I see. Perhaps it's a little different than what the viewer catches at home. I'm coming from a little different perspective. Obviously, I'm a huge MMA fan, but also being immersed in it for the past, better portion of my life, basically, gives me a little bit more credibility.
Well, that's certainly the idea. Although we got to be honest, Dave did point out all the mistakes you made in that fight with John Volante on Saturday.
He did. He did, actually. And he did say I could explain it however I wanted. But I won't even, I'm not even going to waste my time and do that. Because I got the result that I wanted, and that's what matters.
He got the W.
Yeah.
Hey, now, listen, John Volante looked very good this past weekend, and you beat him.
That's true.
You were coming back after 2 years off. Yes, it was a rough first round, but it was your first round in years.
Correct. And the strategy was to wear him out and beat him in the second round. So I essentially called my own shot. Dave can slice it any way that he wants. But I think he's just upset because I'm pretty sure Melissa Santos winked at me. When we were at PWG and not him. So I think he might be holding that against me.
All right. Well, do you have the thing queued up here?
Yeah, I've got the fight. Now, just because you brought up John Volante, I'd like to talk about him for a little bit. Obviously, he won his fight this past weekend against Anthony Parash, and he landed some punches that I believe if he would hit a mere mortal, they would knock him out or kill him, much like Anthony Parash went down.
That's right.
So it would take a superhuman effort to withstand this guy's punches after what I saw this weekend.
But this Fabio Maldonado, do you have anything in... I mean, we've never even talked about this. You were supposed to face old Fabio, and obviously you had to pull out of that fight. What do we know about where you're going next? Any news?
Nope, no news whatsoever. I go to the neurologist this upcoming Thursday, and I'll have more information then. These things are slow. It's a slow.
But I mean,
comeback,
are we expecting that you will get that match with Fabio or after his obliteration, are we going to be looking at a new, more fitting opponent for the Filthy?
Yeah, I'd hope so. After his last fight, I don't really see how it would benefit me, to fight somebody that looks so bad and put in such a terrible performance in their fight. So I think I'll end up fighting somebody else, I would imagine, or I hope. It'd be like the Undertaker comes back and you stick him in a feud with the Wyatt clan. You have this clear bona fide superstar who's
Tom,
out for a little while.
Don't get me going again on this goddamn Undertaker versus Wyatt clan feud.
sorry.
I've had two shows in a row I haven't been able to contain myself. I don't want a third.
Let me change the subject for you real quick. And before we go on, let me say something about the Beer City Bruiser.
Please.
All right. I didn't watch the show.
you just want to say something about him?
That's all I wanted to say. I like his character. I'm glad he's with Silas Young. I'm glad he's on TV getting squashed. I'd also like to say, and I hope you can relay this in the nicest way possible, but if Vinny talks bad about man buns anymore, I'm coming after him.
Hey.
I have a man bun.
I'm surprised I haven't gone over this table yet.
Oh, my God. Well, you'd have to be able to... Never mind.
But I can't get on top of the table. Trust me, gonna, Tom, you, I can get on a table.
You'd have to be able to see over it, is what I'm
How dare you? I've set this up so I can see everything.
What a terrible joke I made. I know. Okay, so let's move on to the real thing at hand here, and that is this Ronda Rousey versus Holly Holm fight from this past weekend. So just a few things. I'm going to watch it in real time, and I'll tell you guys exactly when the clock starts. Before you viewers at home or listeners at home follow along with me if you'd like, before you do that, I'd like you to at least keep a few things in mind. Ronda Rousey has fought with a very similar game plan against every single one of her opponents. Regardless of what her opponent would do, Ronda Rousey has basically, you know, kind of bull rushed them and used her physical attributes to, you know, set her apart from the rest of her competition. Here, she goes in and does the same thing she does in every single fight, and it seems as if she had no backup plan and was not able to adjust herself. A lot of talk has been made about the terrible job that Edmund was doing in the corner, saying, you know, you're doing great, or he was saying that Holly Holm didn't even outstrike Ronda Rousey, which is ridiculous. But... you know, when, as you watch this fight, you could put some of the blame on him, of course, but you also have to put some of the blame on Ronda for not adjusting her game plan during the middle of the fight. So she always comes out with a left jab and then goes for kind of a left, hook over the top so she can get the clinch with a right underhook. And then she looks for a throw, a head and arm throw, from that side. Now, as we watch the fight, you'll see Holly Holm would circle the way that Ronda wants, but at a different angle. Holly Holm was moving backwards and away rather than straight back or straight to the left like most of Ronda's opponents do. And, you know, basically she executed a perfect game plan. It was a perfect fight for Holly Holm. And you could see how Jackson and Winklejohn were able to pick up on some things in Ronda Rousey's game and expose these holes, okay?
Let me ask you a question, Tom, before you go into this fight.
Yep.
So Ronda Rousey has had one opponent who she fought twice thus far in her career, and that was Miesha Tate. In the first fight, she destroyed her in less than one round. In the second fight, it took three rounds. Now, Ronda, of course, when Miesha Tate was denied her championship match and threatened to retire, Ronda told her to toughen up and quit being a crybaby, and I beat your ass twice, she said. Now, based on what you're about to tell us and what you've learned from Holly Holm's strategy and the fact that the first time Miesha Tate was beaten in the first round and the second time she made it all the way to the third round, do you believe, Tom, that if this had been Miesha Tate and not Holly Holm, after all these years and having trained so hard to beat Ronda Rousey and Ronda Rousey's performance in this fight, do you think Miesha Tate would have beaten her?
No. No, not at all. I think this is a clear example of styles making matchups. Miesha Tate has not shown me the patience that Holly Holm has showed in this fight. And, you know, in her past fights, a lot of people were kind of down on Holly Holm as a challenger because she didn't look, you know, spectacular in against a competition that she fought in the UFC. But, you know, stylistically, she is a counterfighter. Miesha Tate has never really shown that counterfighting ability. She's kind of more of an attacker. You know, she's very aggressive, and she uses that to her advantage to push the pace and impose her will on her opponents, much the same way that Ronda Rousey does. So, unfortunately for Miesha Tate, I think it's a situation where when she goes against Ronda Rousey, she's going against an opponent who's better at what she's good at than Miesha Tate ever will be. I would actually think Miesha Tate has a better shot of beating Holly Holm, for sure, than she does of Ronda Rousey.
How about that? All right, here we go. The play-by-play.
Yeah, okay, so... Oh, I'd also like to mention that I was very happy to see that they got the real Herb Dean for this fight instead of the fake-ass Herb Dean that they had in the commercials leading up to it.
I remember that. That's right.
Yeah. So we have Holly Holm and Ronda Rousey squared off on each side of the cage, and Herb Dean is about to start the fight, and I will tell you when that begins.
I'll bet you anything.
And the fight has started.
Okay.
So you can see Holly Holm comes out and takes the center of the octagon. She's in a southpaw stance, and Ronda Rousey tries to corner her up against the cage like she does all of her opponents by using a left jab and then kind of an overhand. Now, as she does that, she always moves in, you know, a very similar direction where she's almost crossing her opponent's body. And that's what will later in this fight allow Holly Holm to take the outside and land straight lefts and punches over the top of Ronda's left hand. So currently, you know, Ronda's in the center of the cage, and she's backed Holly Holm up. Now, Holly Holm, as you can tell, she does something a little bit different than most of Ronda's other opponents. And when she starts getting moved towards the cage, she immediately circles. Okay, she either circles by stepping back and away at an angle and kind of moving, basically drawing an arch or an arc with her footwork, instead of going straight back into the cage. So Ronda's chasing her at this point very heavily. And Ronda, if you've ever watched her on the mitts, she has very fast hands, but she does not do a good job of bringing back her, especially her lead hand, to her face. So Holly Holm is able to use that and land some punches. Ronda currently, and I believe she does this a few times, goes for a Russian two-on-one up against the cage, which is a very underutilized move. But you can see here she's trying to get a grip on Holly Holm's head with her left arm. And Holly Holm is able to push away and move right back to the center of the cage, something that none of Ronda's other opponents have been able to do up to this point. So it's already 2 minutes into the fight, and you could tell right off the bat that Ronda is frustrated. The way that she's chasing Holly, Holly is moving away, but using it as an advantage to, you know, to counter-strike. She's not just moving and letting Ronda Rousey off the hook. As Ronda goes to readjust and get her footwork back, that is when Holly is able to strike. And Holly just used a beautiful lead hook with the right hand to push her off on that side. And again, with a big straight left. So those are the two biggest weapons that Holm uses in this fight, is the straight left and the lead hook. And that gets her footwork in the right place. Now, Ronda was able to just get the clinch, and she basically used exactly what I was talking about, a left hand around the head, a right hand on the underhook, and she either trips or, you know, looks to throw with her left leg in between by controlling the center of Holly Holm's hips. Now, Holly does a great job, and she just landed one of the, what's known as an oblique kick, which are, you know, has been popularized by John Jones. Basically, it's a little snapping front kick to the knee. The reason why Holm was doing this is to keep Ronda at bay. You know, usually you'll see fighters use the jab to keep distance. But, you know, obviously your arm is shorter than your leg. So Holm was using her rear leg to kind of press against Rousey's, you know, lead leg, in hopes of keeping her at bay. And Ronda Rousey just went for another clinch, but Holm reacted very, very well and did the same thing she did earlier and moved to her right, which is underneath Ronda Rousey's left arm. And Holm again circling back towards her left and landing a straight left in the process. Beautiful straight left right to the grill of Ronda Rousey. You can see her left hand is down around her nipples. Not a good defensive posture for Ronda. And, you know, as Holm now is coming in and starting to throw punches, Ronda is very stationary. So she only moves in a situation where she's moving forward. As Holm starts to throw back, Ronda's footwork, you know, she doesn't move backwards. She doesn't move at an angle. She just plants her feet, and starts throwing. And that's where Holm is able to use her movement and footwork, to get the better of her. Ronda just landed a really big punch. One thing you can see in the fight, as, you know, Ronda hits Holm, she does rock her, or at least, you know, knock her off balance. But she's not able to, you know, capitalize just because her striking technique is not nearly as crisp as Holm's. Ronda clinched up and Holm was able to use her, you know, physicality, her size to kind of muscle Ronda down and then get back to her feet. Again, Holm with a big right hook over the top as Ronda stepped in with her jab. And Ronda uses it to get the clinch, but Holm does a great job of not engaging and instead looking to defend right away. So instead of getting an underhook or getting an overhook and going right into defensive mode, she instead, uses it to create space. So that the round has just ended. Ronda Rousey threw a strike after the bell, which I didn't see anybody talk about. But she did it anyway. So let's listen to Edmund in the corner. Beautiful work. Beautiful, right?
Come on, Edmund, you numbskull.
I don't know if he meant she's keeping both hands up or he needs her to keep both hands up because she certainly was not keeping her lead hand up. Now, I didn't hear
positive thinking. We are keeping those hands up, Ronda. We are.
I didn't hear it during the fight, but I did hear afterwards there was a little commotion made about Jackson or Winklejohn called out, I don't know if he said Travis Brown mode or the Travis Brown was a move. But they did call that out during the fight. So I'm not exactly sure, what that meant. But, you know, if nothing else, when Ronda Rousey hears it.
Checking out the Zapruder film here.
Yeah. Okay, so now second round has started. Very similar to the first. Ronda Rousey comes out, takes the center of the cage. She just threw a jab and then left her hand down to try to parry and paw. And you can see she's considerably slowed down, still using the exact same game plan that she was earlier in the fight. Holm just landed a nice kick with her right leg, kind of like a back leg kick. I don't know. Eric Bischoff would be able to call it better
kick
than me.
Thank you.
Rousey, out of control, throws a wild punch, misses, goes towards the cage, turns around, and I think this is where you could tell she was done. She was dejected. The look on her face after missing that punch was different than we've ever seen before. Ronda still trying to corner Holm, and Holm moves out of the way, lands a beautiful left as Rousey goes to get her footwork back. Big left head kick by Holm and gets the knockout. So, as Dave actually said, he had a very good point on Saturday. He said, you know, the head kick, people will say she got caught with the head kick, but the head kick was the culmination of everything leading up to that point. And, you know, the head kick, that was the first time we had seen that technique during the entire fight. So Holm really did a great job using her footwork and counter striking and creating angles by using a straight left or a right hook over the top of Ronda's considerably low lead hand in order to get the victory. So great job by Holly Holm. As you watch the fight, and obviously in retrospect, it's even easier to see, but you can really see where the frustration, everything starts setting in for Ronda. And, as a coach, I think in between the rounds, you have to be more realistic with your fighter. You know, telling Ronda that she was doing great was probably not the best in the long run, I would imagine.
Angles, Tom. It's a secret of this sport, is it not?
Yes, angles. Let me tell you something, Brian. Let me tell you something. Like Fire Marshal Bill would. Angles and shapes, okay? So when I look at BJJ or striking, I think of it as a giant geometry problem, okay? There's a lot of levers. There's a lot of, different lines that you use to create distance or, leverage points that go into play. And I think people do themselves a big disservice by looking at MMA or striking or, any of these disciplines through moves, through doing, okay, I'm going to do this move, then I'm going to do this move. It's more, about the holistic process of being able to identify what's going on based on, leverage points and fulcrums and then adjust due to that.
That's correct, in my humble opinion.
Yes.
Can we turn that thing off now?
Oh, sorry. I have my headphones on, so I can't hear it at all.
Oh, yeah. We hear it over here.
Sorry about that. Just block that out in the back.
Oh, sure, yeah. I'll go in post. Just turn down the background noise like Raw.
Or turn it up. Turn up the cheers but keep the boobs going as well.
Now, why do they call this background. An oblique kick?
That's a good question. I was under the impression the obliques are in your abdominal
Mine
region.
Are. Yeah. Maybe some people have their oblique in their knee, but
well,
mine...
Where, can you tell me where the Beer City Bruisers obliques are?
They're in there somewhere, Tom. Trust me.
You sure about that?
I've seen the man move. I've seen the man move. Are you Googling it now?
Yeah.
Why is it called an oblique kick?
Yeah, I would like to know the origin of that, but I'm not sure I have the time to find it. So,
well, you don't. So any other thoughts on UFC that you didn't have a chance to talk about on Saturday when we were all going crazy about Ronda Rousey?
Yeah, absolutely. I thought that the Jędrzejczyk versus Letourneau fight.
Jędrzejczyk, yes.
Unfortunately, do you know where she's from, Brian?
Poland, just like your okay. girlfriend.
I'd like you to look up her hometown and pronounce it to me.
I can't do that.
Well, go ahead, give it a shot. I'm going to talk about the fight. A lot better fight than anybody anticipated, and I think that it's going to get lost in the shuffle. Due to what happened in the main event, but I thought both girls really did a good job. And this is one of the rare situations where the stock of both fighters, I think, was raised after the fight. Letourneau, obviously, nobody expected her to go the distance, firing back the entire time against, Ioana, but she did. On the flip side, Ioana broke her hand early in the fight and just kept throwing it like it was no big deal. So this girl's a beast. I don't know if she'll be able to keep Claudia Gadella off of her for a five round fight. Those two are clearly the top fighters at 115 in the UFC. So I expect to find out in her next title defense, which may be down the line considering she just broke her hand. So.
Alshin.
Oh. That's not where I thought she was from. Oh, well.
Anyway. Was that right?
I don't know.
Thanks, Tom. You tasked me with something, and then you didn't give me the right answer.
Hey, I'm like Kevin Sullivan, okay? I'm the taskmaster.
Oh, no? Anything else?
That one didn't strike you?
No.
No, okay. No, pretty much that's the other big thing. Struve versus Rochal, terrible fight. It was basically
fucking terrible. God, it was horrible.
Right? A 2015 version of a freak show fight. Here's the biggest thing to me. Has somebody not shown Stefan Struve video of Semi Schilt? This should be like whoever is coaching him should just go, hey, look, I just want you to watch this over and over and over again. Just throw a jab repeatedly. Just jab over and over. Nobody can get close to you.
Tom, are you going to be a coach when you retire from fighting?
Well, I coach now.
Well, I mean, is that going to be your full-time gig, or do you have another dream?
Yeah, well, MMA was my backup plan. Pro wrestling was my number one, so, you know.
So pro wrestling could be nice.
pro wrestling, yeah, hopefully.
But eventually the body breaks down, unless you're going to do Tenru's retirement show. So what's next for Filthy?
Once I'm out of the UFC, I can take as many drugs as I want.
I see.
My body's not going to break down.
I see.
Yeah.
No, Tom, because I'm not going to say what you said you were going to be doing with your children way down the road, but you ain't going to be doing that if you're taking all those drugs.
Actually,
you'll
I will
have a
be.
Whole it's new just... class of drugs you'll have to be taking.
It's just when I'm off those drugs, I'll have an issue.
I see.
Yeah. Okay.
So basically, you don't have an answer for me.
What am I doing? No, I don't have an answer. Are you kidding me? I don't even know what's happened later this week. You want me to give you an outlook for my future?
Sure.
Come on.
You're a smart guy. You went to college.
I did. Yeah. I did go to college.
What'd you get your degree in?
Social science education.
What the hell can you do with that?
Teach.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I taught high school, Brian. That's what I was doing before I struck it rich and got with the UFC. Mm-hmm. Before I hit gold.
Could you make more money coaching dudes fighting or social studies?
Probably about the same amount of money. However, a lot less workload when you are dealing with fighters.
That's true.
In the gym. Yeah, I'd say about half. Yeah, I'd say about half or one third of the work and maybe one tenth of the headaches.
Well, in that case, that's a job for you.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
All right. Yeah, let's move on.
Let's move on to pro wrestling. You've got a Nitro preview.
I do. And I actually really enjoyed this show. Before we went on the air, I had to double check my notes because I screwed them up and did not include the last match. So, I will tell you what the last match I had written down was as the main event, and then you can laugh at me. So, we have upcoming on the Brian, Vinny, and Craig show.
Yep.
Is the Nitro Review from Florence, South Carolina. Beautiful Florence, South Carolina. I have stopped there two or three times while I've been driving up and down the East Coast. They do have a very nice brewery if you're ever in the area. Check it out.
Tom, let me stop you.
Yeah.
Before we go on to this, before we finish the MMA discussion here, because I know people don't like, God forbid we do any mixing, especially on this show, of pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. But do you remember when you asked me the name of her town?
Yes.
Well, I discovered, as I was Googling her, that her Wikipedia includes a pronunciation of her last name.
Ooh.
Would you like me to play this?
Yeah.
All right. This is, according to Google, how you pronounce Joanna's last name.
Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
Wow. That was pretty impressive. You want to hear it again?
Yeah, that chick had a really hot voice.
As a dude.
What?
Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
Joanna.
Yeah, I'm going to have to find out more about this.
Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
I'll see what I can find out.
Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
How about that?
Yeah, hold on. Hey, Pauline! Get in here!
Wow.
We're going to have a run-in. You thought the Whitney run-ins were good. Wait till you get this.
I've also got the proper pronunciation of where she was born.
Go for that. Let's hear it.
What's your girlfriend's name again? I wasn't listening.
Pauline.
Pauline. I was only hearing you shouting.
Pauline, seriously.
You're fucked now, dude.
Oh, man, I'm in trouble. Okay, so here we go. Here, come on. He's going to play. Is it Joanna? That's how you would say it?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, hold on.
You give her the headphones?
Hold on. I'm going to have her pronounce the name. And
okay.
Then I'll put the headphones on her and she can listen.
Okay.
So go ahead and pronounce her name into the... You got to get close to the mic.
Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
That's what I always said.
It's Joanna?
Joanna.
Joanna.
Yeah, hold on. Here.
So this guy screwed up.
Go ahead and play it, Brian.
All right.
Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
Yeah.
Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
She said yes. That's correct.
See, there you go.
All right. Thanks.
Say the two ends.
Okay.
Thank you, Pauline.
Thanks. All right, moving on.
I'm going to tell you how to pronounce where she comes from.
Okay.
Olsztyn.
Go.
Whoa. Was that you or him?
That was him.
Olsztyn. Olsztyn. Olsztyn.
Can you get a pop stopper on that fucking mic?
Olsztyn. Olsztyn.
Olsztyn. So there you go.
I'm glad we covered that.
very exciting radio.
We cleared it up.
Olsztyn. Olsztyn.
All right, now where were we? Nitro?
So we're going to go from Olsztyn to old shit here.
Olsztyn.
And we got Nitro coming up from Florence, South Carolina in 1996. So it's the 11-18 edition, opening up with the debut of La Parca.
Well, that for sure does not sound like
Olsztyn.
Old shit.
No. The match is all over the place. But, you know, it's got La Parca, so at least...
Wait a second. Don't review the whole damn show. Let's just have a vague preview here. Otherwise, I'm going to be spoiled.
Okay.
And I don't like spoilers.
The next match is two cruiserweights. The one after that...
This is good. Is
two... a fat French-Canadian guy
Olsztyn.
With some other old... An old French-Canadian guy
Olsztyn.
Versus two strippers.
Oh!
Yeah.
Wait a second. That's got to be the American males you're referring to.
Yes, yes. Okay,
damn
so... It opens up with La Parca versus
Olsztyn.
Hoovy. Okay.
Okay.
The next match is the man with the least personality.
Tom, let's stop here. This Hoovy fellow.
Okay.
Has he not absolutely sucked on Nitro?
He has no idea how to put together a match.
Thank you.
He just does a bunch of moves.
He is
and
sucked
I did...
on this show.
It's not going to change here. Don't worry.
You mean even with another luchador, he sucks?
Yeah. Maybe worse. Just believe me. You'll see. I mean, it's a total lucha match. Just moves. The finish comes out of nowhere. Just very confusing. But it is followed up with Dean Malenko versus Ultimo Dragon. And then the American Males versus the Amazing French Canadians. Now, I'm surprised the American Males were even teaming because they've had quite some issues over the past few weeks. And they're, again, just teaming up here. It's like Team PCB back in 1996. After that, we have Lex Luger versus Hugh Morris. Then, get this match, Jeff Jarrett versus Bobby Eaton.
Wow, that sounds great.
Coming out in his old Midnight Express jacket, still. I would have preferred to have seen him in his English garb, but unfortunately, it was not meant to be. Now is the next match I had written down, and unfortunately, I had thought this was the main event. Jim Powers versus Big Bubba.
Olsten.
That's what that sounds like.
Yeah, old shit. It sounds terrible. And even worse, Brian, no Nick Patrick in the match.
Oh, wow. What happened?
So I hate to ruin it for you, but this is the first Jim Powers match with no Nick Patrick in sight in a long time. And then the real main event, which I had somehow missed, was Chris Benoit versus Eddie Guerrero.
How did you miss that?
I just forgot to write it down.
Was it
better than
the last one that they had?
Yeah, this is a pretty good match. Easily the best match on this show. Probably one of the better matches I've watched on Nitro in the past few weeks. Actually, definitely one of the better matches. Going back, there's some stuff on here that's perplexing every week. And I'm really wondering what show I was watching at this time frame in 1996. I remember being a big fan, and I had the tape, the VHS recorded of Survivor Series 1996, which I remember. However, I do not remember watching the WCW Starrcade or these other pay-per-views that are going on around now. So I may have been watching Nitro, but I wasn't paying for, you know, their bigger shows.
Wow, I watched every last damn single one of them, unfortunately.
Well, you got 9 years on me.
A lot of bad main events during that period.
Brian, at that time, could you purchase your own pay-per-view? Because I couldn't.
Yeah. I mean, you could have had your mom and dad do it, geek. That's what I did before I could purchase it myself.
I had to beg. And I only got, you know, you can't get both pay-per-views. You can only get
one.
That
is true.
Yeah, so I had to go with the Survivor Series 1996 instead of whatever's happening here with, you know, I guess the only match I would look forward to anyways would be that Faces of Fear triangle match.
But that does sound awesome.
It does. It does. The 60-man battle royal does not.
Well, that sounds very, very exciting. Have you watched Raw yet?
Nope. I actually don't watch Raw, so.
Oh, what the hell's... Why? Because it sucks?
Yes.
Oh.
It's terrible. Maybe I'll start watching next year or the year after, but it starts getting good about right now.
Yeah, right about now is when it's going to start getting good.
Yeah. I remember watching, and I would VHS record one of the shows that was on, and I would watch the other one live on TV in my room, and then I would go get the VHS from the other room and watch the next show immediately after. So I think at this point I was watching more Raw than I was WCW, even though WCW clearly is the better product at this time. I was a loyalist, Brian. I grew up in the Northeast. And basically, WWE is what we had. That's what was big. WCW never came to town. I never missed a Saturday night show on TV, but I never got to see these guys in person. So I think my allegiances stayed with the WWF.
Well, it was like that for a lot of people, Tom. That's what kept them going during this bleak time.
It was.
Let's talk about your tournament. The WWE tournament continues tonight on Raw. Most of you are watching that as we speak. Or you will be, as you listen to As We Speak. So let's talk about a real tournament, Tom, which is guaranteed to be a better tournament than this WWE World Heavyweight Title Tournament. the filthy 2015 WWE 2K16 tournament.
Correct. Now, yesterday, I sent out an email to all of the 32 participants
I have
had
it right
scheduled.
Here.
Yes, so do I, Brian. Would you like to read it, or would you like me to read it?
I'll read it.
Okay.
You can correct me if I screw any of this up.
All right, I'll edit it just like you did my...
Yes, please.
My soliloquy on why I pulled out of the fight.
Here are the rules for the contest. Number one, no profanity beyond what is seen on current WWE television, PG-13-ish. Why is that, Tom? Because Granny's listening?
Yeah.
And it's just the right thing to do?
Yep.
All right.
All because of Granny.
Yes.
Gladys Gibson. This is the Gladys Gibson rule.
All right. In this week, the first round, you are to cut a promo on your Twitter against your opponent about why you should win and move on. Think in-ring or backstage-style promo about why you deserve the game more than your opponent. I have posted the bracket on my own Twitter at FilthyTomLawler, so please look at my Twitter to see who you are facing. It notes here, spot number 13 will be filled by someone, or at Fozzie Fiend will take his place. Explain that.
Somebody signed up. I have emailed them. They have not gotten back to me. I asked for their Twitter. I'll give him till Wednesday.
Give him till Wednesday?
It's Tyler. Yeah, I believe it's Tyler L. If when he doesn't get back to me by Wednesday, he's gone.
When did you first email him? last
when
week?
Two weeks ago?
Oh,
last
dude,
week? Yeah.
Get rid of that guy. Fozzie Fiend
he's
gets
out?
His place.
Okay, Fozzie,
I'm calling an
in.
Audible right now. It should not take two weeks to respond to a personalized message from a UFC fighter. Have some respect for this man. Filthy Tom.
Yeah, so you're out. Sorry, buddy. Fozzie Fiend, you're in.
Fozzie Fiend, now in the contest.
Yes, and he is definitely entering.
Tom, listen.
Hold on, Brian. Hey, Dave. Hold on. Listen. What's going to happen is this guy, Fozzie Fiend, is coming out to Jericho's old music in this battle.
Okay.
That's what I was going to say. Now go ahead.
What I was going to say was, all due respect to this guy that we just replaced, but if it took him 2 weeks to not get back to you, what would have happened when we needed him to do something in this contest? Are we going to put the contest on hold for 2 weeks while we wait for a goddamn response?
He probably just went and bought the game.
Probably did.
He's probably sick of this shit.
Should have been nice enough to alert you, however.
Yes. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
Oh, just email?
Yes. Hold on. He sent the email yesterday, but I just saw it now.
Oh, man. Fozzie Fiend was so excited, and now he's so sad.
but at @psycho_knee is now excited.
All right, well, listen. Fozzie Fiend, you're now officially an alternate. If it takes 2 weeks for @psycho_n or whatever to get back to us on anything, you will officially take his place. He's got one more chance to be prompt.
I would be willing to bet that Fozzie Fiend makes his way in as an alternate due to somebody else not interacting.
Sure.
But I could be wrong.
Can you imagine if he won the whole thing? That'd be amazing.
I hope he does. That'd be great. He's my pick. He'll probably get through, you know, all these tournaments, guys get injured very frequently. So I'm sure we'll have an alternate step in the finals and win, just like happened in every MMA tournament in Japan history.
Dude, if you get injured in a Twitter arthritis, promo contest.
Carpal tunnel. We've got a guy out with carpal tunnel, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
Throw up the X.
That's right. Let me continue. You will have one chance to submit a promo, so choose wisely. I suggest tagging your opponent in the tweet and then either alerting me afterwards via Twitter or via an email, which of course is filthy@wrestlingobserver.com. I will give until Friday to submit the promo. I will choose a winner. Brian will choose a winner. And a Twitter poll shall cast the third vote. Clearly, 2 out of 3 moves you on to the next round. And it says here, in order to get this thing done before 2016, and in an effort to keep it as a true tradition TNA fashion as possible, traditional TNA fashion, Contest rules are likely to change every week for no reason.
That is the most important part. I'd also like to reread that sentence that you botched so people don't think I screwed it up. And it says, oh, and in order to get this thing done before 2016, and in an effort to keep it as true to traditional TNA fashion as possible, I blew it.
Damn it.
Go, can we do this in post-production again?
Actually, can we get that guy on Google to just do it?
Yeah.
Kept saying Jan Jacek, Joannin, Jan Jacek.
Okay, so I have put up the brackets on my Twitter. I'll post it again later today. But you have your first-round opponents up there, and everybody that's listed as a first-round opponent. All the matches will be done this week, so 16 people will move on to next week, and then we'll see what the contest holds.
Now, are you going to fix these damn brackets so it doesn't say 13, click edit 13 anymore?
Nope.
That's like one of those secret codes at the bottom of Dave's daily update.
He's like Shelton X Benjamin.
Except
it's at psycho underscore 13 click underscore edit 13 knee. Right?
Okay.
That's like his nickname.
All right. I got it.
Click edit 13.
Okay. So now what? Now's the time?
Yes. Yeah, so a few of you have already done this. You have tweeted out your promos. I do understand I was met with a little bit of trepidation when it came to using only one promo. The problem is that you can't really expect people to vote and read 30 different promos. Some people would go overboard. So for this first round, we will keep it to one tweet.
Okay. I got a great idea too.
Yep.
How many are going to be going this week?
32 men, 16 winners.
Okay, so we're doing all 32 of the first round this week.
Correct.
Okay. And each person only has 140 characters.
Correct.
Okay. So I know that you're going to send me all of them.
Correct.
All right. Next week, live on the show, Tom will read one promo and I will read the other promo as we go through the whole thing.
Perfect.
This will be your chance to practice your promo skills.
Yes. And then we can decide the winner on air.
Sure.
Perfect. Because the poll will be closed by the time that this show starts.
Excellent. Excellent.
Boom.
God, this is going to be fun. I got to say, this is going to be more or less fun than the Karate Fighters tournament that starts tomorrow on the Brian and Vinny show.
The Karate Fighters tournament was supposed to start next week.
Oh, that's right. Next week. You're right. You're right.
But the Karate Fighters tournament will probably be better.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure. There's only three men. It's not going to be much of a fucking tournament.
Check your Periscope, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. How did you procure this Karate Fighters gimmick? Would you mind telling everyone how much you paid?
I think it was $50.
Holy
about 50 bucks.
Smokes.
But it was worth every single penny just to hear Craig uproariously laugh. I listened to you guys talk about the Karate Fighters during the Raw promo or Raw shows, and it seemed to me like, realistically, that was the thing you enjoyed the most. So I figured, why not get you guys the Karate Fighters as you're doing it? So unfortunately,
thank God we didn't enjoy Goldust's outfit the most, because that would have been a very uncomfortable show.
Wait till he becomes the artist formerly known as Goldust.
Oh, God.
Because you may be getting an outfit to wear based on his garb then, in the future.
Oh,
maybe we could probably get the same outfit at Good Time Charlie's.
Hey, possible.
In Soldotna.
Soldotna, Alaska. Oh, man. Well, Tom, anything else here today?
I feel like I should have something else, but that doesn't mean I do.
Well, let's do your plugs then.
All right.
Why bore the listeners?
It's not very nice. Okay.
Well, no, what are you talking about?
Oh, actually,
if we're out of stuff to talk about, why bore them by just going longer?
I'm gonna bring up one thing because, and I mentioned this on the board and on Twitter, but a lot of people were like getting on Dave for continually talking the other night, right? But Dave's the main eventer, right? He's the whole, well, not the whole reason, but a lot of people come to this site and listen to the Wrestling Observer to listen to him. So if he cuts me off, so be it, guys. Let him. Don't give him any
Tom,
crap.
It was worth it for whoever it was on the board to have officially dubbed Dave the San Jose Steamroller.
Yes.
That is the goddamn greatest nickname ever.
I don't know. I can't believe that's the first time it was used.
I can't
that's
either.
It?
It's incredible. All right. Let's get your plugs in so then you can deal with your phone.
Okay. So my plugs, you can find me at Twitter or on Twitter at Filthy Tom Lawlor, FilthyTomLawlor. You can also listen to me with Front Row Brian on the FRB Show podcast. That's at FRBShow.com, FRB Show on iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube. Also, check out armbarapparel.com/TomLawlor. It might be /, doesn't matter. Either one. Check it out. You can buy a shirt from me. You can buy more than one shirt. You could buy 300. You can send them to me. I'll sign them for extra money. Whatever you guys want to do, check out those shirts. They're pretty cool, and a lot of the money goes to me. And last but not least, I'd like to shout out. I'll give a shout out to my girlfriend for coming on the show. Absolutely phenomenal performance by her, and I hope to hear more from her in the future.
All right, everybody. That is it from here. We're going to wrap it up. I want to thank all of you for listening. Tom is here every single Monday here on the Filthy Four Daily Tom Lawlor Show. And, of course, I'll be back tonight with Dave talking Raw and so much more. Going to be a fun time. We'll talk to you again.
Brian. Sorry.
Yes.
Sorry. Hey, guys, send me some questions. Let's do a mailbag next week.
I can do a mailbag. All right. Send them to Tom, everybody. Filthy@WrestlingObserver.com. And that is really it from here. We'll talk to you again after a while.